Okay. Let's restart the clock on paper number eight.
Yep.
Talking about hybrid instruments.
Yep. The committee received a request to clarify whether the host contract of a hybrid financial instruments described in the submission should be classified by the holder as an equity or as a debt instrument under S 39.
You speak a little louder.
Louder, yeah. Ah, okay, sorry. Sorry. At its March meeting, the committee tentatively decided not to add this issue to its agenda, mainly because it considered that the issue is not widespread and the instrument is too specific, and it would not be appropriate to provide guidance on this particular issue. We received six comment letters on the tentative agenda decision. Two of them were received after we have finalized the papers. These additional comment letters are not analyzed in Agenda Paper 8, but are presented separately in Agenda Paper 8A. Three respondents out of six support the tentative agenda decision for the same two reasons as described before. However, another three respondents are concerned by the committee's tentative decision. Two of these are late comment letters. The main concern raised is that there are similar instruments for which the same question arises. Two of those respondents also think that further guidance could be beneficial for stakeholders. We understand those concerns, but we think that this issue would be too broad an issue for the committee to deal with on a timely basis. Moreover, as noted in staff papers for March meeting, the FRIC had already discussed a similar issue in November 2006 and January 2007. Two respondents also argued that IFRS 9 would not fully address the issue. We acknowledge that IFRS 9 would resolve the bifurcation point, but not other aspects of the holder's classification. But we continue to think that this comment could be beneficial for stakeholders. Consequently, we do not recommend removing it from the wording of the final agenda decision, but we propose to modify the wording of the third paragraph of agenda decision to clarify that IFRS 9 would resolve the issue only partially. Some of the respondents also observed that IFRS 9 will not become mandatorily effective for a number of years. We acknowledge this concern and recommend deleting the last sentence of the tentative agenda decision. Consequently, we propose the following wording of the third paragraph of the final agenda decision. The Interpretations Committee noted that IFRS 9 financial instruments would partially resolve the issue because the question of whether the instrument should be classified before or after identifying the embedded derivatives would no longer be relevant to the holder's classification in accordance with IFRS 9. This is because the standard would not require bifurcation for hybrid contracts with financial asset hosts, and the holder would instead be required to classify the instrument as a whole. We would like to ask the committee members to review the revised wording after the meeting if you agree with that approach. Our question to you is, do you agree to finalize the tentative agenda decision not to add the issue to the agenda? And if yes, do you agree with the wording of the final agenda decision in line with the proposed approach?
Kumar, anything to add? Philippe?
Wording in the agenda decision, I think when we say that IFRS 9 would not require bifurcation, I think it would be more appropriate to say would prohibit bifurcation. Is that correct?
Okay, let's just start from there and work down. Carl?
Thanks. I think it's a valid issue, asked in a very, very narrow submission. Hybrid instruments are very, very complex instruments, and there is a lot of disagreement how to deal with it in my jurisdiction. Restatements are being asked for by the local regulator. Even being asked in this very narrow way, I think hybrid instruments should be addressed. Maybe through an interpretation to help users preparers and auditors and regulators to deal properly with this kind of instrument based on its complexity, and I think it's a widespread issue through many jurisdictions.
Bruce?
Thanks. My comment firstly was I agreed with the decision not to add it to the agenda. I do think it's a very specific issue, firstly, when you take a look at it. And the second comment was that I do think that we have an impending standard, or we hope it's an impending standard that will, that will resolve it. Which is why when we talk about the timely basis, I think if we tried to address it now, we wouldn't get it out before, IFRS 9 gets out. My comment on the other side, though, is that I think that as far as the wording goes, I think we should completely remove that paragraph on IFRS 9. I think we're commenting on a incomplete project from the board that hasn't been finalized, is not effective. I just think we're starting a dangerous precedent of starting to look like we're now assessing whether we take them something on the agenda on the basis that something else is coming out and current discussions by the board. And I just don't think IFRS 9 is relevant here. I think our decision is based on the fact that if you read the first two paragraphs, I don't think the decision not to take it on is purely because IFRS 9 will address it. So I just think that I think the third paragraph, I think, will raise more questions than it will answer.
I have to say I had a similar reaction. Laurence?
I'm on the same line. I mean, my preference is to remove that reference to IFRS 9. I don't think it is adding anything. But if it is being kept, I would have wording changes because I have problems with the first sentence. I would have said that the Interpretations Committee noted that the question of whether the instrument should be classified before or after identifying the embedded derivative would not arise when applying IFRS 9 because it would prohibit bifurcation for the hybrid. But my preference is, like Bruce, remove if we can remove.
The paragraph's only two sentences long, so if we remove the first and second sentences, it follows that. Okay, I'm over in the corner here, and I'm having trouble with Charlotte.
I agree with the people who said remove the reference to IFRS 9. I don't think IFRS 9 resolves the issue. It doesn't give you an answer to which you do first and how you do it. It just, what's better, it ignores it. It just changes the accounting so that it doesn't apply. So I think to say it resolves it is a bit I don't necessarily agree that the issue is not wise, but I agree this particular fact circumstance, if you narrow it down to the exact instrument that's in the submission, isn't widespread. But the issues it highlights are widespread, which is why we said we're not going to look at it because it's too wide an issue. So it does seem a bit odd in the rejection to reject it because it's too narrow, then to say we're not taking it onto the agenda because it's too wide. So I don't know how we reconcile the two. I mean, my preference would be, and obviously IFRS 9 is going to come in shortly, we all hope, but I think there are enough people, there are enough people who are still applying 39 and 32 for some time that it is still relevant. So my preference would have been to take the issue on. So.
Philippe?
About the reference to IFRS 9, I think the timing is such that by the time this agenda decision will be published, IFRS 9 will be out, hopefully, and early application is permitted. Yeah. So for those who apply early IFRS 9, it gives an answer to their problem. For the ones who will wait until 2018, it will not. But I think it gives some guidance going forward as to whether the issue will remain a widespread problem going forward. It will no longer be a widespread issue when the first time applies.
There are banks, I was reading three of them last week, that have early applied nine. So, Kumar?
Yeah, just a couple of points. Yes, IFRS 9, hopefully we should get it out by this time the agenda gets finalized. But more than that, I think previous versions of 9, which have been around, also would work. You wouldn't require bifurcation, yeah. As Philippe says, it's prohibited. I don't think IFRS 9 ignores it, nor are we saying that's the thing. Maybe we should play with the wording about results. It makes the issue redundant. You do not have to do it anymore. So I don't think we ignore it. On the other point, on the widespread issue, I think it's the second question where we are saying that trying to address some of the points raised in the comment letters would become very wide, not this specific issue. So I just wanted to clarify that. We can play around with the words, but I'm happy to go with whichever way the IFRIC thinks regarding reference to 9. Okay, I don't think that's critical for the decision.
Bruce?
Yeah, I just want to come back on that. So
my only comment about that was, you know, if I'm a December reporter, I've still got 8 reports, or if I'm doing interim and final, under IS-39 before I'm potentially applying IFRS-9. You know, I just get worried we're turning around to people and saying, well, look, for the next 8 reports you put into the market, unlucky, you know, just either apply IFRS-9 or nothing. I just feel the timing, as much as the standard will be out, the majority of people are not going to early adopt it. And I just think that to use our reasoning being, well, IFRS 9 is out, which is only going to be effective in 4 years' time, I just don't think it's the right answer.
That's a fair
point taken. Andrew, did you want to come in and I cut you off, or did you already?
I was going to come in.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I agree we should finalise the agenda decision. I think the particular fact pattern is too narrow, but the broader issue about holders' classification is too wide. On balance, I thought it was helpful to retain a reference to IFRS 9, as if we can just finesse the wording to be clear on the extent to which IFRS 9 does and does not address the issue, because the submission raises questions really about the interaction between bifurcation and classification by the holder, including whether or not the holder classifies symmetrically with the issuer. IFRS 9 doesn't address the symmetry issue, but it does make redundant question of bifurcation. So I have suggested some wording sent into the staff already to my attempt to try and clarify that link, but I have no strong feelings if the overall view is to drop the reference altogether to IFRS 9.
Okay, let's see if we can parse this a bit. First, the decision not to take this onto the agenda. The rationale being that the specific facts submitted to us are far too narrow. Show of hands. Ten. Sandy, you vote no. You go with it, okay. Okay. You didn't look enthusiastic about either. So. Okay. So we're not going to take it on the agenda, the rationale being that it is the specific facts given to us are too narrow. Now, the second proposal is to excise, as in delete, the reference to IFRS 9 completely. Show of hands. Okay.
11 in favor.
11 in favor. So we don't make any reference to it, to 9.
Okay. Question.
Martin?
Suggestion. I mean, also in the staff paper, we read that this topic was already discussed in 2006 and so on. Could we bring it in some way to the attention of the board? Because we say, okay, probably for us it is too huge, but on the other hand, we see this topics popping up again and again. So is there a way to bring it to the attention of the board?
If you ask it, we will make it.
We couldn't sort of resolve anything until the effective date of 9 anyway, could we? By the time you did anything, we'd actually be in 2018.
But I think the request is that we communicate the concern to the board, and we can certainly do that. The fact that we may not be able to do anything about it is a separate question, but I think the board does have the right to hear that. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.